وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاك الله خير الجزاء. آمين to all your duas. مزرد مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate you in rank. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, tonight the 14th para was recited and the 13th Taraweeh took place. Alhamdulillah, the Suratul Hijr has been recited in the Taraweeh tonight. Now, the Valley of Hijr, the inhabitants of that particular place, the nation of Thamud is mentioned. And this surah has been named Suratul Hijr. The Valley of Hijr is situated between Medina Munawwara and Sham, that is Syria. Only the first verse of the surah is in the 13th para. The remaining part of the surah is in the 14th para. The surah also begins with the Hurufi Muqatta'at. And in the first verse, the Quran is praised and described. The proofs of the basic beliefs of Islam are also found in the surah. The important points mentioned in the surah are as follows: that on the day of judgment, when the disbelievers will witness the severity and ferociousness of the punishment, then they will desire, if only we were Muslims. However, it is apparent that believing or desiring Iman on this day will not benefit, whereas today, when the Messenger of Allah calls them to accept Iman, they call him mad and a lunatic. In opposition to the call of Iman, they choose that manner of mockery and rejection which the past nations had chosen. One salient feature of the Quran Kareem is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself has taken responsibility to protect it. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun. Whereas the responsibility of protecting the other divine books were entrusted to their followers. It is for this reason that the other heavenly books could not be protected from alteration, whereas the Quran Kareem is pure and protected from every type of change, addition, or deletion, despite so many centuries having passed. The Quran Sharif's miraculousness is due to many factors, of which one is its quality of being protected and preserved. For its protection, Allah Ta'ala has made it easy to memorize it. There is no land on earth where a hafiz of the Quran is not found. Small, innocent children who cannot memorize a few pages of a book in their mother tongue, they keep such a huge book, the Quran Majid, protected in their hearts. In different versions of the surah, proofs of Allah Ta'ala's power and oneness are mentioned, which openly proclaimed and testified to the existence and greatness of a creator. These proofs are spread out all over in the form of the skies, the earth, the moon, the stars, the mountains, the fields, the oceans, the rivers, the trees, and the birds. In one place, Allah Ta'ala says, "We have placed in the skies huge stars and beautified for those who see." I mean, you can look at the galaxy, how wonderful and beautiful it looks. After two verses, Allah Ta'ala says, "We have spread out the earth and we have placed on it firm mountains and grown in it a measured amount of every suitable thing in one place. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in one place, we send you the winds that fill the clouds with water, and we send down the rains from the skies from which we give you to drink, and you do not have the ability to store it. These winds carry on their shoulders thousands of tons of water. Then wherever Allah Ta'ala commands, it sends it down. In these winds, pollen is carried and transported from one tree to another, and thus they germinate. So after mentioning these proofs of Tawheed and Allah's power, which are witnessed in the created world, the incident of man's creation has been mentioned, which became manifest in the creation of the first human being in the world, the father of mankind, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. His creation was definitely a manifestation of the divine power of Allah Ta'ala, a being created from lifeless soil which can move, wake up, sit, walk, think, understand, use the elements of nature, and in a world of possibilities has the ability to progress according to his potential, is definitely a very great proof of Allah Ta'ala being all-powerful and all-wise. Hazrat Adam al-Islam's incident is not of an individual, but of the whole of mankind. Just as Adam al-Islam was honored when Allah Ta'ala created him, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي Adam, with his hands, so Allah Ta'ala created Adam al-Islam with his hands, blew his soul into him, commanded the angels to prostrate before him, and opened up the secrets of his power and marvels of his wisdom. So too were his children honored in these particular things. When the angels were commanded to prostrate, then all of them prostrated, except the cursed Iblis. According to the ulama, the most correct and preferred view is that Iblis was not an angel, but he was a jinn who lived amongst the angels. Due to refusing to prostrate, he was expelled from the heavens and became worthy of everlasting damnation. To take revenge on Adam alayhi salam, he sought respite till Qiyamah, which he was granted. He asked for this respite so that he could lead the progeny of Adam alayhi salam astray. He openly proclaimed his aim by saying, O my Rabb, because you have misguided me, I will certainly beautify for them on earth, misguidance, and I will lead them all astray. He was told, your scheming will not work on those who are my sincere servants. Yes, those who are evil-natured and forever despised will follow you. I have prepared Jahannam for them, which has seven doors. For every door, groups will be divided. Allahumma fazna, may Allah Ta'ala save us from the fire of Jahannam. Since the style of the Quran is that together with warnings, encouragement is also mentioned, and together with Jahannam, Jannat is mentioned. Therefore, after mentioning the followers of Shaitan, those fortunate people are mentioned who will be in a place of safety and peace. There is Jannah. There will not be any tiredness, difficulties, and worries. And the heart of every person will be clean and free from animosity for another. After mentioning Jannah, which is a place of such peace, contentment, rest, and ease, Surah Hijr mentions the favors, bounties, and mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his servant. So a servant, no matter what a great sinner he may be, should never become despondent of the mercy of Allah, because Allah Ta'ala can forgive all sins and his mercy overpowers his anger. Allah Ta'ala says, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, inform my servants that I am all forgiving, most merciful, and that my punishment is a painful punishment. These verses, they contain both the emotions of hope and fear, and in the heart of a believer there should be fear of Allah Ta'ala as well as having hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, a mention is made of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam's guests, who were actually celestial angels in the form of humans. They had come to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam to convey glad tidings of a son. It is mentioned that he was 120 years old at the time. His wife was also very old. Outwardly, this was not the age of bearing children. Therefore, upon hearing this good news, Ibrahim alayhi salam was happy as well as surprised. When he expressed his surprise to the angel, they said, We are informing you of a true glad tiding, so do not be from those who lose hope. So he answered, how can I lose hope in Allah? Only the misguided people lose hope in the mercy of their Rabb. And he said, the purpose of my question was to find out whether we will be given a child in our old age, or we will be returning to our youth. And will it be with this wife or after getting married to another woman? So the angels, after informing Ibrahim alayhi salam of the good news, proceeded to Hazrat Lut alayhi salam and told him to leave that area of night together with his family members, since the people of that area had exceeded all bounds in sinning. And we know that the people of Lut alayhi salam were involved in sodomy, homosexuality. So Allah Ta'ala had passed a decision to clean the earth of their impure existence. This decision came to pass. Allah Ta'ala states, a loud scream apprehended them at the time when the sun was rising. We made this area upside down. وَجَعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا, taking the upper area, and turning it around. And we rained upon them coarse pieces of stone. So in the inhabitants of the valley of Hijr, that is the nation of Salih alayhi salam, had also taken the path of oppression and excesses. And in spite of being explained to over and over, they were not ready to leave idol worship. They were shown different miracles, especially the miracle of the birth of a she-camel from a mountain rock, which in reality was a collection of many miracles. A she-camel coming out of a rock. Upon coming out, it gave birth. It was unusually big in size, and it gave a lot of milk. However, these evil people did not appreciate this great miracle. Instead of seeing it and believing, they killed this camel. Soon they were overtaken by a punishment from Allah Ta'ala. And at the end of Surah Hijr, mention is made of the bounty of the Quran. So whoever attains this bounty should never raise his gaze towards wealthy people. Nabi alayhi salam is commanded to openly proclaim the whole message which is revealed to him. Just like other surahs, this surah commences and ends with a mention of the noble Quran. Then we continue to Surah An-Nahl, the bee. And this is a Makki surah. And it has been given this name because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired the bees, sent wahi to the bee. The bee is just like any other insect, but by the command of Allah, it accomplishes such astonishing feats that human intelligence becomes shocked. So whether it is building the hive, dividing responsibilities, or attaining a drop of honey, one by one, from far off trees, gardens, and fields, their every action is amazing. In the hive which they build, there are approximately 20 to 30,000 rooms. And these rooms are hexagonal, six-sided shapes, they are like hexagons. Today, if it is measured by any modern instrument, then there will not be a hair's breadth difference in the sides, of that hexagon. In this hive, there are different places for gathering honey, a maternity home for giving birth to the offspring, and a storage room for excess honey. And the queen bee rolls over the thousands of bees. In this small kingdom, her orders are followed, and according to her commands, duties are distributed. And each bee, the bees have various responsibilities. And, you can read up on this particular subject, and you will be absolutely amazed at the kudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah An-Nahl is also called Surah An-Ni'am because many of Allah ta'ala's ni'mats, favors, and bounties are mentioned. In the beginning of the surah, mention is made that Qiyamah is closed. Then the favors of Allah Ta'ala are mentioned. Then he has made man the earth a carpet. That he has made the earth a carpet for man, and the sky a roof. He has created man from a drop of sperm. He has created livestock, which has many benefits, and which is a means of beauty and honor for his master. He has created horses, donkeys, and mules, which carry heavy loads and are also a means of beauty and embellishment. He sends down rains, and by means of it, olives, dates, grapes, and many other fruits and grain grow. He has placed in the service of man day and the night, the sun and the moon. He provides tasty meat, fish, and precious stones from the rivers and oceans, and boats and ships move in the ocean by his commanded. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, if you want to enumerate and count these bounties of Allah ta'ala, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا, you will never ever be able to count them. And it's a very, very unique things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about his bounties and all his blessings. And then there's a very, very comprehensive verse also in this particular surah, and it is performed, it is read many, very often during the khutbah in Jumu'ah. As Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says that this verse of the Quran Kareem is the most comprehensive verse of good and evil. This is that verse which, on hearing it, an enemy of Islam, Walid ibn Mughira, was forced to praise it. Due to its comprehensiveness, from the era of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, every khatib recites it during the khutbah of Jummah. And this is it's the 90th verse of Surah Al-Nahl. And three things are mentioned and three things are prohibited. Adl, justice, ihsan, goodness, and giving to relatives have been commanded. And fahsha, every immoral word and action, munkar, every action which the Sharia prohibits, and baghi, exceeding the bounds, example, pride, oppression, jealousy, all these things have been mentioned here, that we will, all these things are, we have to refrain from. So Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ. The command of adl, justice, is general. So in law as well as business dealings, fairness it is necessary. It is also necessary in fara'id and wajibat, with one's children, with friends and enemies, with one's close friends, and with one's wife, non-relatives, servants and workers. And every good is ihsan, and every deserving person is worthy of assistance. Every action whose evil is completely apparent is fahsha, like fornication, homosexuality, the drinking of liquor, gambling, etc. And munkar acts, which are regarded as evil in the Sharia, in which every sound person should detest. Baghi means to oppress someone with regards to his honor, wealth, or life. So beautiful things have been mentioned in the surah to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to try and lead a life of purity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.